Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome back to our Tripod family, to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. This is your first officer, Clarkie speaking. Joined by our fearless captain as always, Winnie. How are you going, mate?
Mate, I might not be on cloud nine like you are after watching the Titans. We will say best till last, but I'm pretty good with a perfect round. Best bets, 2-0, mixed matchup gets up by a few tries, and we even hit another same game. A crazy results got the same game is because I think we're hitting every 3 or 4 weeks over the whole season, but we're average winner odds like closer to $7. So it's been pretty unreal. That was the Knights game where they got the outright upset. So plenty of positives that we can talk about, but also plenty of big, you know, regular season implications out of this round in terms of top 8 and top 4 spots that are up for grabs that I would like to discuss and like to hear from people who are joining us live as well.
Yeah, of course. G'day to all our live viewers. Thank you for being here with us. And I think as we get down this last stretch, we're going to have a really a run of interesting recap pods because every game is just so important. But I tell you what, I actually had a friend when he wasn't feeling the best lately, went to the doctors and he said, "Doctor, what's wrong with me?" And the doctor said, "Mate, you're a bit low on testosterone." And he goes, "Oh, doc, how do I fix that?" Do you know what the doctor told him, Winnie? He said, "Mate, you need to be tuning in to Winnie's best bets because that was a sexual round that got blokes' hormones going across this country, mate." Just want to say a brilliant, brilliant effort by yourself. I don't think anyone else knew where I was going with that either. But let's jump into the action. Thursday night, which seems like a lifetime ago now, Broncos get up 32-10 over the Roosters, who I thought they were going to be a little bit better. I went with Patrick Carrigan for my MVP, scoring his first NRL try there, breaking his drought, you could say. And I thought the Roosters' start was really good, Winnie. They were intense. They were trying their best. And even when they were down 2 tries, 14 minutes in, I thought they've got the right mindset here. There's still a chance. I'm not going to put a line through them. That intensity eventually faded. And I do think a large part of that and something we have to give respect to is the Broncos and how they play this year. They kind of get into the battle with you early with their tough middle forwards and systematically break you down and just beat the will out of you. And then from there, they've got the X factor to take over the game in the likes of Walsh, etc. The thing for the Roosters was their completion rate was down here at 66%, which sounds super low. They actually are equal last this year at 75%. And so I'm sure Roosters fans see them go, "Oh, it's a real issue. Our completion rate's not there." But I went back and looked in their back-to-back premiership winning seasons. They actually completed at 75.5%. So only 0.5% better from being a bottom four side to winning back-to-back premierships. Where it gets interesting is, do they target this in the offseason? Do they throw their current game plan out the window and say, let's play a more conservative approach, get that completion rate up? Because clearly it's just not working for them this year like it has in previous years. Whereas for the Broncos, my take is, Winnie, they're probably my second favorite behind the Panthers to win it at current. Would you agree with that? And what was your assessment of this one?
I do agree with that. I think we would have said the same going into this one. And I think the way that Brisbane takes the game away from an opponent is built off the back of some of these phenomenal forwards. You shouted out Carrigan, awesome, that he got off his duck, his career duck, and got over the chalk. And then, you know, Haas, it seems like the same players who can always shout out. But I was going to mention Reynolds' kicking game is also what wears opponents down because it gives them nothing. They're starting from poor territory more often than not, set after set, and nobody or very few teams can seem to go with Brisbane. Certainly the Roosters have not been able to go with anybody who is a legit, you know, competition threat. The Roosters have had some strong starts in several games, looked like they can match it but can't go the distance. That's kind of what happened here. Brisbane built that 20-0 lead. And then actually there were no points in the game for 34 minutes before each side did actually then bank a pair of tries. And Brisbane still comes away with a, you know, 22-point margin. That probably puts a nail in the coffin for the Roosters' season. So they're going to make decisions moving forward that's more about, you know, next year and a rebuild rather than getting the best results out of 2023 because it just hasn't been their year for Brisbane. They've got the big derby next week, but I mean, for them, they've probably still got their sights set on a minor premiership.
The Broncos would definitely have their sights set on that. And that's actually a point that I've got to get into later. It's to do with the Eels season and their top eight hopes. And it does tie into that minor premiership race there. My apologies for that delay there. I was actually looking up the ladder. If Roosters fall back into the bottom four there, they've only won eight all year. That's the same as sides like the Titans and Dolphins, who coming into this season, you would certainly have had them above. So really interesting to see where they go from here. Our next game was the Friday 6 p.m. and we had a fair bit riding on this one in terms of we had a Top Sport
mixed matchup.
Got there and in the end, went every other segment before I got to it. we had a best bet as well. In this one, the Tigers go down to the Rabbitohs 32-18. My MVP was Alex Johnston. I went him. He actually made history on the night here. Fox Sports brought it up. He has the most tries, multiple try games ever. So 51 wow. times he scored two or more tries, which is more than Ken Irvine and Billy Slater, who on the single try leaderboard do sit above him. Thought the Bunnies were good without being great here. And I do think they're premiership contenders still, but the expectation for premiership caliber sides such as the Panthers, like we saw later this round, is they're going to play great. They're not going to play good, particularly against the bottom competition, such as the Tigers, where we've seen other sides put them away this year. I will say for the Bunnies, it was their first game in a while back to full strength and getting all those combinations and timings back. So maybe a little bit of a training run, if you wanted to go that far. But the other thing is the Tigers do play well in patches this year. They had that period, I can't remember who it was, early in this year. They exploded for like three, was it the Bulldogs? Where they exploded for like four tries, something crazy. They've had that. They've had some really strong patches against the Panthers where they scored and went on to win that game. And so the point I make is the Tigers, they do perform well in patches. They extended that patch into the second half for about 20 minutes there. From minutes 40 to 60, I thought that the Tigers were actually on for a comeback at one stage, if I'm absolutely honest. But ultimately, the Bunnies score those two late tries, just like they did in the earlier encounter this year, and they do go on to win the first leg of the all-or-nothing challenge for myself. Ultimately, did lose that second leg, though. But your thoughts on this one?
Firstly, I was very pleased to chalk up another best bet winner. And, you know, when a best bet wins or loses, then people will say it was right or wrong. But the truth is you can be partially right because I liked the Rabbitohs and I liked them to win convincingly here, and that was wrong. You know, the Rabbitohs didn't cover the full game line as I thought they probably would. But what I was right about is, I guess, a strong start where the Rabbitohs did score 20 points in the first half, did lead by 14 going into the break. I put my hands up, an intercept try to start things off. That helps. That man, Alex Johnston. You know, we don't get that. Maybe we don't get that first half cover. And I was also kind of right about the Tigers having a bit of a second half comeback in them. And it was legitimate. It went from 20-6 to suddenly it's 20-18. It's anyone's game into the second half. But the Rabbitohs did go on with it. Latrell looked pretty great. He looked like he was enjoying himself out there. He's playing up to the crowd. But most importantly, yeah, just looked to be moving freely and had the look about him that they definitely didn't rush him back. They made sure he's, you know, A-OK. And as you said, they got pretty much everyone back last week against Brisbane, and we thought the whole band would be back then. Latrell was held one more week. He hasn't played for like 3 months, right? So now you do have the band back together. And while you always want to strengthen your points differential, and this would have been a good opportunity for the Bunnies to do so, and I will accept that people were going to say that was pretty mediocre performance. Getting the 2 points is what's most important, and the Souths can definitely build on that.
And that puts them up to sixth on the NRL ladder, what I've got in front of me here. They are 2 points short of the Raiders there in fifth. So, you know, all things considered, they did their job. They got the win. And if you're a Tigers fan, they did cover the line there. So maybe you picked up a little bit of coin there.
We'll talk about top four. But I'll wait till a couple of the other teams in the mix have played and we can discuss how that's panning out.
Yeah, lovely. This ladder is as tight as it's been in a long, long time this year. Our next game was Storm v Eels. Storm picked up a 46-16 point win, and I had to go Jerome Hughes for my MVP with 7 line break involvements. That is the most I've personally ever seen. 4 line break assists and 3 himself. I've not seen that before, so that was very, very impressive by him. And I did tip Eels here. And whilst they did score very early through Sean Russell, post that moment, It was really frustrating to watch them in this one, partly because the Storm suffocated them, but also the Eels were a little bit off. I thought they were just poor. And what frustrated me the most was I had this rule where I never underestimate the Storm. I tipped them for top four this year. I refused to do it. And coming off a loss, I broke my own rule here and I pay for it. And they remind me exactly why you never underestimate them. I suppose the challenge for the Storm now is keeping this consistency because they can play at this level. And although, you know, it's tough to criticize the Storm because they are so successful, but you would say this year they haven't been as consistent as other seasons throughout. So the challenge for them down this home stretch is maintaining that consistency and blowing teams off the park like they did to the Eels. That's what they're capable of. Their run home is Panthers, Raiders, Dragons, Titans, and Broncos. Now, three of those games are gimmies, and I think we'll see a lot, and we'll learn a lot about this Melbourne Storm side next week in Penrith for the Eels. I think that signals season over. It's not absolutely over, but it gets a really, really hard from here losing that. They should win against the Dragons next week, which will give their fans some hope, but it does get tough from there. But they do have a wild card. This is what I touched on earlier, Winnie. So round 26, they're against the Panthers in Bluebet Stadium. But if the Panthers have wrapped up the minor premiership, in previous years, they have opted to rest a bunch of players in the final
round. But that's not the final round.
It says around 27, is it?
Yeah. So you can probably disregard that.
Yeah.
Because Penrith plays Cowboys. Penrith plays North Queensland in the final round. Trust me, I've looked closely because I've looked at top four.
And I thought it was a 27-round season also. And when I was checking my phone earlier today, I couldn't get past round 26, which is why I thought maybe I got it wrong and it is a 26-round season. But 27 rounds, so that won't play into it like I thought it would. So disregard my wild card for the Eels.
The wild card is Dylan Brown comes back. Yep. The other thing they've got going for them is the Sharks are in a tailspin. So that's, you know, one side that they don't have to worry about. What they've got going against them is Manly's got a bit of life. Newcastle has a lot of life. So there's, and obviously we all said the Bunnies were outside the eight 2 weeks ago, but they're going to be in the eight. So that's who Parramatta have got to worry about. In fact, as it stands, Parramatta now sits below the Knights and Manly. So they've still control their destiny. And I guess RCG will be back in another week or two. That suspension was just a brutal time, coupled with the off-field stuff for Brown. As for the Storm, they are in the box seat to finish top four. You mentioned, I think the key for their season is the next 2 weeks, right? At Penrith is a pretty tall task. But the following week, they host the Raiders. And the way I see it, the Storm actually only need to win one of those two and they will control their destiny for the top four, assuming that they take care of business and the others, at least all the way through to round 27 where they play Brisbane. And Brisbane could also be locked into second place, for example. So then the Storm could actually get up an easier task there. You could get a game where Melbourne needs to win to be top four. Brisbane doesn't really need to. So what the Storm needs to do is win one of the next two, which you'd say they're pretty capable of, but like the Raiders are a good team on their day. They weren't this round, thankfully for us. Penrith looks nearly unbeatable. We'll get to those sides. In this game particularly, I just thought the Storm not only looks switched on, celebrating that the club milestone, right? 25 years. Since they went into the league and celebrating how many premierships that you reckon they won?
Five? Too many.
which I thought was questionable. I thought it was a bit of a piss take, honestly. But they didn't really learn their lesson, dare I say. But you had to marvel at what they did at Marvel Stadium. And the highlight moment for me was Munster looking like a superhero with his solo try. And the Storm certainly can really switch it on. You said they've got to carry the consistency. It's a different story when you've got to go and play Penrith. Sometimes it's not so easy to bring that kind of form in, but it's gonna be a quality game next weekend for sure.
And I've just seen why my app didn't go past round 26. The Eels have the bye in round 27, and so the wild.
So it is the Eels' last game.
It is, but it's funny because I was going to offer that as a wild card in the Eels' favour. Because the Panthers might rest people. It's actually in the complete opposite now because Penrith are going to want to punish them given their rivalry between two clubs. So, sorry.
It would be in the Eels' favour if they could still sneak, if they could sneak into the eight, then get a bye round 27. That's a big advantage heading into the finals, but their work is cut out for them. to make the finals, that's for sure. As we move to Saturday, I see a team that's going a lot better that might just take their spot.
Yeah, and this game was really unbelievable. It was Raiders v Knights here in Canberra. The Knights won 28-6. And I went Kalen Ponga for my MVP here for the fourth consecutive week. The only other player that's done that this year was Drinkwater, the four games previous to this one for the Cowboys. So he is in an insane patch of form that we rarely ever see in his preferred position. Who would have thought this guy's a really good fullback? Can we please stop trying to move him to 5'8"? Knights coaches, just leave him in the one jersey. He is fine there. It's tough to gauge this one because I did say a Knights win would change my perspective of them, and it certainly has. I'm so impressed with them now, and I'm so much higher than them than I was before. But by the same token, looking at how the Raiders performed, I have to wonder, did they even show up? Because this was their worst effort of 2023. And then I wonder, how much of that do we attribute to the Knights? Was it the Knights playing so brilliant that the Raiders weren't able to fire anything? I think they still had some chances. The Knights' defense was brilliant, particularly on their goal line. Raiders were lucky to even score one of them, absolutely honest. But I wonder how much the Raiders were really throwing at them. It really looked like a training run against an opposed side. There was no intensity. There was no creativity. And so whilst I'm so high on the Knights after this win and thrilled for their fans and think they are absolutely brilliant, I don't mean to discredit them at all, but I do have to wonder what happened with the Raiders. That was a horrible, horrible showing for them and a horrible tip by myself. I'm tipping them there. But meanwhile, for the Knights, it's five in a row now. They're against the Dolphins next round in what seems like a winnable game for them, given their run home. And so I want to get your thoughts on not just the Knights' win here, but why we maybe didn't see this consistency from them earlier in the year, because you've been really high on them since the preseason.
Well, one of the reasons is, you know, that man Ponga, who, as I said, is the most electric player in the league, wasn't there for a few weeks and, you know, had games where he was in and then knocked out early or whatever, position change, they had injuries, suspensions. They lost games that were there to be won. I don't want to keep going over all that. I would love to know what the height of the Knights' top eight odds got to. They had to be in the teens, you know, a month ago to make the eight. I'd given up hope at that point. I said pre-season, I could see them making the eight. And now, you know, the truth is the reason they won so comprehensively yesterday is because they are really on a roll. You could see it from Ponga on his first touch of the footy when he caught the ball, skipped past a couple of defenders and took it back and made a 30-metre line break, his first carry, you could tell. But you asked the question, was there something wrong with the Raiders? I absolutely think there was as well. I really feel like that emotional, you know, pour it all out, road trip to New Zealand, adversity, back and forth game, you're dead and buried, you come all the way back, you celebrate like you won, but you hadn't won yet, you had to kick a sideline conversion, you miss it, go to Golden Point, lose that, and then come out of it, and Ricky's blaming the refs, and it's kind of like they lost two games in that Golden Point period because they couldn't recover from that one in taking it, and they never really gave themselves a chance in this one. So perfect storm, one side that was flying and one side that just couldn't quite pick themselves up. And that was great for us with our best bet. Knights over 18.5 points. I had that covered in the first half. And Ponga to score and Knights to win. We also had pretty much had that covered in the first half because Ponga scored the opening try and the Knights did lead, you know, 26-0 at one stage in this game. So that was, you know, love to see a plan come together like it did. Yeah. And I don't know if you can ask me this, but I'll put it to our followers. Do you think the Knights make the eight? I'm going to say at this point right now, yes, I think they're going to get in ahead of Cronulla, Parramatta and Manly, and I think that they will get eighth spot.
You and I, let's stay on the line after this live show and go through the NRL ladder predictor and see what we can come up with because I think that'd be a good post for us after this as well. But I also think it's super interesting. I think the Knights win next round against the Dolphins, and I definitely think they beat the Bulldogs. Given how tight their last one was, they should have. I'm only joking. And then they set up a huge game in Newcastle against the Bunnies. So the Knights have a really exciting run home. Following that, it's the Sharks and Dragons. That Dragons game, in my opinion, probably, if they keep this form up, looms as a really good
final. I mean, Knights-Sharks the week before could be like a playoff game. The Sharks, who we'll get to shortly, have got a couple of games against like Canberra, Newcastle, so that those games ultimately will decide who gets in and who misses out.
and the Sharks could not have looked poorer this round. We'll get to that game next. Before we do, it was Dragons v Manly in Wollongong. Manly won this one 24-18. They actually haven't won in Wollongong since like 2003, so they snap a massive, horrible run at that ground. I went with Tolatau Kola for my MVP, scored a try, set one up himself. Given I tipped Dragons here, I was somewhat invested, and I would say I was, you know, supporting them for this game, cheering them on where I could, hoping to get that underdog tip there. And boy, they are a frustrating sight to watch. And I can see their fans' reaction online. Casey Badger, Bunker robbed us, referee, MVP. I see it all, and I just think maybe some tough calls went against you, but certainly I thought the Dragons had 8 chances to win. Am I being too conservative? Like, they would knock it on attacking the line on first tackle, hand the ball straight back, and just that through their own ill discipline, the Jack DeBell and Sinbin, maybe unlucky, but, you know, he still did do a hip drop, even though there wasn't too much in it. That's the rules. And so whilst Dragons fans can blame officials all they want in this one, I still think they were good enough to win and probably could have won this game. But they fall short due to their own poor discipline and decision-making. You look at Manly, however, Winnie, and this is another side that's kind of locked with Knights. They share that draw, so they have an interesting predicament on the ladder. 68% completion, 5 penalties, 6 step restarts, and ultimately a really tight victory over a struggling Dragons side that sits second last. It's safe to say if they want to be viewed in the same category as the Knights are right now, they need to improve pretty quick. Maybe DCE's 300th was a bit of a distraction like we thought it might be, but ultimately they still do enough to get the job done. I just think if they've got bigger aspirations this year, they've got to improve pretty quickly, because that's those sort of numbers and this sort of performance probably wouldn't beat most top 8 sides, I would say, at this point. But yeah, Dragons, what can you say about them? They have not won a back-to-back game this year. A really tough season for their club. They were my wooden spooner in the preseason. I think yours was Tigers. Am I right in that?
I'm ashamed to say mine was Dolphins.
That's right, it was Dolphins. But you had a play on the Tigers, didn't you? You got some solid odds for them, and they do sit last.
Oh, we got top of the market odds on Tigers for the spoon. That's right. I think it was $13.
That was a great pick there. But yeah, your thoughts on this game, please.
Yeah, look, Manly not playing their best for 80 again, but you can take a lot of positives out of not playing your best and still winning, such as last week for Manly, scraping that win against Cronulla. Plenty they did wrong, nearly gave it away, but they got the 2 points, and same deal here, and that keeps them well and truly in the hunt this season. It was a competitive game first half, and, you know, the Dragons hit the front 8-0 early, but once Manly got back on top, and then Garrick scores in the first minute of the second half, subs soon after, and these are like length of the field line breaks, either for the trial or setting them up. The blowout looked on at that point was I think it was like 22-8, and you know, you're thinking DC 300th, Dragons have kind of shot their shot early, but now Manly's, you know, just doing it too easy to give St. George credit. They fought back, you know, again, you know, I thought there was good merit in you taking the Dragons because they're at home. There's that extra reason to kind of keep fighting. And I do want to touch on the bunker because I just want to understand what happened there. I believe it was Dan Russell live, looked like a try to me. But it's always tough when there's players wrapping up the ball and you don't have a clear shot on it. It actually got sent up, no try. So then you know, the burden of proof is on the bunker to overturn it. They've got to be definitive, right? But what I didn't understand was they said, we can see the ball is grounded. Now we need to see if it's across the line. And I thought, oh, they've actually confirmed that. And you could tell, like, it was like 99%. You could see the ball and you could kind of picture it in your head that what you could see of the ball meant that the rest of the ball had to be on the ground, right? So for me, like, yeah, it's a try. And then they said, okay, we can see the ball's grounded. They check another angle. It's a foot over the line. And then somehow talk themselves out of giving the try. So if you don't want to give it, then don't say that you can see the ball's grounded and it's over the line. Because last time I checked, Clarkie, but I need to brush up on the rule book, but grounded and over the line is a try, an NRL try, I thought, worth 4 points. And in a game decided by 6, you know, that does feel pretty consequential. But, again, you kind of make your own luck and, you know, maybe we get a level scores. I mean, that would have actually had the Dragons in front later in the game. But you get bad luck sometimes when you don't, you know, take control of games. So just, I guess, the Dragons weren't strong enough. Although they did, you know, they did cover the line with that fight back.
Yeah, they covered the line. What you touched on there, Ryan Carr, their coach, was actually quite angry about in the post-game press conference. He was pretty much alluding to, like, I could ask for clarification, but what's the point? Doesn't matter. They can just, you know, and I think a lot of coaches are at that point where it's like, well, what's the point? Like, the result can't be changed. We just get a press conference.
It rubs it in more when the NRL issues you an apology on Monday.
Exactly. And then all it does is make fans, you know, stew on that result even harder. So I kind of like the path he took. Like, who cares? It's happened now. Nothing can change it. And certainly a few coaches seem to be going down that path as well. Next game was Panthers v Sharks in Penrith. Panthers won this one 28-0. For my MVP, I had to go Nathan Cleary. Simply brilliant. Huge kick meters, 40-20s, try assists, you name it. He had it in this game. Special mention, of course, goes to Cameron McInnes, who made 83 tackles and broke the all-time NRL record. Panthers are favourites to win this competition absolutely right now, and it's not even close because they just seem unstoppable, and they're actually improving every week still, which a lot of other contenders aren't. They're kind of up and down. Panthers are on this steady trajectory where they're just making small 1% improvements, it seems, almost every single week. And so I just think they have to be absolutely heads-on favourites, and I believe they are. The plus 16 line for the Sharks was attractive pre-game, and I think a lot of people might have taken it. And it was pretty apparent early on that this isn't the Sharks side that we knew earlier this year. They averaged the most amount of points in this competition at 26.1. Panthers averaged 26 just behind them. But I tell you what, they didn't look like scoring. They never really looked that threatening in this one at all. We know where the Panthers are right now. We know they're absolutely premiership favorites. But for the Sharks, we're just thinking, what has happened to this side, particularly the last 3 weeks, where it seems that they've just really fallen off a cliff with three losses in a row. They face the Bunnies next week, who will be high on confidence with the trail back another week. They had a nice 13-plus win, whereas the Sharks just could not be any lower on confidence. And so I went back at the draw, I had a look. When was their last notable win? Because they did have that stretch against Tigers, Dragons, a few easy games in there. Came in round 12 against the Knights 10 weeks ago when the Knights were not in any sort of form at all. And if you want to go back further than that, you know, it's not looking good for the Sharkies at all. They need changes to their side. But is it the right time to be making changes coming into finals, down the home stretch, already in the top eight? There's a fine balancing act there for Craig Fitzgibbon. He's going to have to get it right, and he is only in his second season as a coach in the NRL. So your thoughts on this game, and do you think, as it currently stands, the Sharks will be the side to fall out of the top eight?
I do, and you mentioned Fitzgibbon, and I reckon he's an awesome coach, and the coaches that have a longevity and can last multiple years in a club can't get too emotional. They can't, you know, tear strips off their players. I mean, Bellamy kind of gets away with it because he's got so much banked, so many years of success that the players cop it. Where, like, it's given to his credit, he remains calm, he remains, you know, stoic. But what do you do when your team's just, like, week after week second best? Although, to be fair, a lot went against the Sharks in this game. Just my point on coaching, you know, I'm starting to wonder if, like, I don't know, are they a team that trains too hard in the preseason because they've got this mindset, we want to be fitter, faster than you. Like, that's kind of, Fitzgibbon's such a hard worker, but I wonder if the modern contenders are smart enough, like even your Robinsons, your Storms, your Panthers, they know that actually you can't win the comp in March and April. You've got to build up to it, because I kind of think the Sharks came second last year out in straight sets in the finals, and this year it looks like they might not even make the finals. They are falling apart. So I do maybe question, you know, why they're running out of petrol, but even if they played their very best, they wouldn't have won this game. I mean, Mulitalo is ruled out 24 hours before the game. That doesn't help. Mulitalo to the Sharks is not far off what, like, a To'o is to Penrith, right? So that was a big loss. And then Kennedy, I think a hamstring tear, very early in the game. That was brutal when they lost him, and Tracy had to go back to fullback and had to shift, shuffle outside backs. And then you just got this classic suffocating Panthers performance. And Cleary, you know, his kicking game, similar to Adam Reynolds, he's got it on a string, but particularly his long field kicking. I mean, he kicked two 40-20s. He kicked one that was like, well, from his 30 to like the 10. So someone can do the maths on that, 60 metres. Then he kicked another one where he dead set caught it, stepped backwards behind the 40 and then drilled a 40-20, so had no momentum behind it. Like, it was a thing of beauty. It's like a sight to behold, the way that he was kicking that footy, as sweet as I've ever seen. Like kicking him as far as Matty Burton last night. So that gave the Sharks no hope. And I think if you look at the stats of possession and territory, the amount of defending the Sharks did on that try line, that's why they were so impotent with the ball, because they kind of had nothing left. It's funny because they lost 28-0. I actually think they were pretty brave. They only let in 5 tries up against all of that. And I actually thought we could have the first ever occasion where a team loses 28-0, but Clarkey gives an MVP to that side, because you mentioned McInnes. I mean, most ever tackles in a game, in an NRL game by a player, and he broke the record by a mile, like 10 tackles, right? So that's absolutely insane. As for the Sharks attack, I kind of explained that's what happens when you're that burnt out. But when Peachy got sin bin with 20 to go, and I think the score was like 22-0, if you had been on that Sharks, and I've seen a couple of people saying they did take the start, 17.5, there was a chance for a fight back there, and the Sharks got maybe 1 or 2 sets on Penrith's line. But even then, they just couldn't do anything with it. They were just running on fumes. So that was a chance where maybe, not that they could have come back and won the game, but maybe they could have threatened the cover. But Penrith held firm there and just completely choked them out in the end. Now, let's talk a little bit of top four. So Cronulla reeling, and now Kennedy's out. They play South. So Souths are pretty fortunate, because when you looked at South's draw even 2 or 3 weeks ago, you marked that as Souths will be favourite. It's a neutral venue. If you're looking this up, Clark, that could even be the Perth game, I believe. But that looked to be a tough game. Now it looks like pretty sure win for the Bunnies. I understand there's no sure things in this game, but Souths will be significant favourites in that one. So I think Souths are going to win out. I think the Knights game looms as South's toughest remaining, which I think I said a week ago or on Wednesday, and that one's in Newcastle. Cowboys lost today, so I'm kind of jumping around, but just trying to talk top four. Cowboys have probably taken their hat out of the ring for top four. If the Cows can beat Brisbane next week, they'd still have a chance, and that Penrith game's a bit of a wild card. But even if the Cowboys win all their remaining games, they might miss the top four on points differential. So I really think top four is a 2-horse race, because you've had Cronulla's, you've had Raiders drop games. So I really think it's Storm or Rabbitohs. I think the Rabbitohs are going to win out, which means the Storm can afford to drop one game, but no more. And it's relevant here because the Storm's next opponent is Penrith. So in a week from now, the Rabbitohs play the side that just lost 28-0. The Storm play the side that just won 28-0 in Panthers Sharks. So you'd think the high likelihood is that South will catch up a game on the Storm, and then the Storm will be on a tightrope, I reckon, for the rest of the year, clinging on to top four with South snipping at their heels. I'm interested if anyone kind of sees the top four race differently, but that's how I envision it playing out.
The thing is for Rabbitohs right now as well, we have to remember they've only had the 2 buys. So ahead of them is the Raiders on 2 points higher on the ladder and Storm are 4 points higher on the ladder. But if you give them their bye, then that puts them into 5th position, 1 win away from the Storm, where they would overtake.
And like the Storm play the Raiders in 2 weeks. So I really don't think that the Rabbitohs have to worry about the Raiders. I actually think the Rabbitohs would cheer the Raiders on in that one, because they'd catch them either way.
Raiders are in this awkward spot where they're still in 5th because they've won so many tight games. One odds maker here has them at $91 to win the premiership, whereas someone like the Knights is shorter at 76, which I guess really sums up how much belief the bookies have in the Raiders at the moment. But yeah, I pretty much see it the same way. I think you can lock in the Panthers and Broncos into that top four. The Warriors do have because they do have a relatively easy run home. It'd be strange to see them drop it. Which then, yeah, really leaves it between the Rabbitohs and Storm, in my opinion. And then you look at their 2 draws, as far as it's concerned on the way home, you've got to give it to the Bunnies. It's much easier. They've already opened as low as $1.25 against the Sharks next round. Mm. Then they go against the Dragons. The game against the Knights looms as possibly the most important of their season if we factor in premiership talk, because we know you need to finish in that top four. Then they get a week off with the bye and the Roosters. And I just think that bye is perfectly placed too, Winnie, because you sort of go into the Knights game and, you know, boys, give it everything. We've got a whole week off. And then you're coming at the Roosters, your arch rivals, who no doubt it's your last chance to, you know, kind of stick that knife in and turn it one last time, coming off a bye. So I think Bunnies are perfectly placed at the moment to go on with it. Our Sunday afternoon kicked off with the Bulldogs v Dolphins. The Doggies won this one 23-22. I went with Matt Burton for my MVP. He kicked a field goal that seemed innocuous at the time, but it ended up proving absolutely crucial. I thought Jared Wallace, I saw him getting some criticism in the chat actually earlier, but I thought he was fantastic for the Dolphins. 40-plus tackles, no misses, 6 tackle breaks, over 100 metres, got a repeat set off his boot, was playing some expensive footy there for a prop forward. Neither side was ever in control of this one. The lead did change at times, and the game always felt like it was up for grabs. Dolphins did have a fair crack at that as well. Ultimately, Asako would miss a conversion there to potentially win the game. But this is one of those games where it doesn't really have any impact on the competition from here. It's just Bulldogs fans will be happy with the win. Dolphins fans will be disappointed with the tight loss. But in terms of where everyone's mind is sort of going, it's towards finals. And this game doesn't really factor too much into that at the moment. The win probably takes a little bit of pressure off the Doggies. They move to 15th instead of 16th. But with more penalties, more errors, almost double the missed tackles and 67% completion rate, it's safe to say they probably got away with one here against the Dolphins, who did have a fair few chances to win. I know you're a Dolphins fan, so I'm guessing this one was pretty disappointing from a personal perspective.
Yeah, and although I don't think the Finns would have made the 8, it would have kept it realistic and it would have made that Knights game quite interesting, you know, if you pull an upset there. But that game's, you know, has looked tougher and tougher each week as we've seen the Knights ascend. The Dolphins did look stronger. They came to this off a bye. They talked about evidence of, you know, although it was the Dogs that opted to play this game, you know, it's a Queensland town and the Dolphins are trying to win over fans all around Queensland. And they were up 8-0. Then the Dogs just got all this possession and all these repeat sets and were able to capitalise on that from 8-0 down to score a couple of tries and kick a field goal. It was a funny field goal. They were up 10-8. It was about 60 seconds to go in the first half. And Matty Burton just slotted it from 30 on fifth tackle. And it's like, you can kind of understand it because if he misses, you give away a 7-tackle set, but maybe they're it aren't enough seconds to actually play out 7 tackles. So there's low risk, I suppose. And if no one sees it coming, you never know when that point might come in handy. And then, crazily enough, they win by 1 point. In the second half, it was back and forth, but it was the Dogs who had the lead for most of it. Then the Finns took the lead and thought they'd extended their lead only for a try to be disallowed for obstruction. Then the Doggies got back in front with a try that was arguably a forward pass, and then the Finns have the final try of the match. As you say, Milford came on, got a double, and you get the kick, the chance to seal it, and Izako's leading the competition in points this year, and it was a windy day, just a tough one. It just goes across the face, so it is brutal for the Finns, but I suppose anyone that paid their money come out to watch this one got their money's worth. They got an entertaining game. The Dolphins fought hard. You know, you can't ask for more than a team going till the final minute, giving themselves a chance to win. One last point on the Dogs. I don't think they're a good footy side at all, but they did look re-energised just by virtue of having a lot of their best players back. It seemed like that's what they drew inspiration on. Like, we've got, you know, we've got Bill Kickow, we've got Addo Carr, you know, Reed Marnie's back, Liam Knight has joined the club. It's like, it's just nice to have most of our core or available playing together. Let's go out and show what we can do. And they were by no means comprehensive, but they had their moments, which was good enough to just jag this win. And as you say, take a bit of the pressure off because it had been pretty ugly in recent weeks.
That's the thing for the Doggies too. They've not really had their best side on the park at all this season just due to injuries. I did a deep dive on them a few weeks ago and they actually have improved statistically in almost every single area, though you wouldn't, you know, think that way with where they're placed on the ladder. But certainly there have been some improvements for the club this year, and if they were to stay healthy next year, maybe they could start factoring back into the top 8 conversations. As for the Dolphins, I actually think they're a side that Wayne Bennett, even though they can't make the 8, I could still see Dolphins springing some upsets this year. I don't know. I just feel like Wayne Bennett's been around long enough to know how to motivate his players throughout the rounds, regardless of what's to come or what's not to come, rather, with finals there. So I will be looking to the Dolphins for a few more upsets this year, I believe. Then it was Titans v Cowboys at Cbus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. Titans win this one 22-13. I went with Kieran Foran for my MVP. I thought he was really, really good today for the Titans. Fantastic performance. Had his head and everything. Competed really hard defensively as well. It was a tight first half, and I was starting to think, are the Cowboys a little bit off today, or are the Titans just playing some awesome footy right now? And I've got to be honest, I just think the Cowboys were off. I'd love to claim that my Titans were on another level today, and we turned up, and we put in a great effort. But it was just like our win against the Broncos. The Cowboys are a much better side than us. The Broncos are a much better side than us. But for one reason or another, I think it's a mindset thing where they turn up against the Titans and think, well, we've already won. They're a chump side. And then the Titans are able to spring that upset. It's also tough to me to be excited by this. I know there is, like, mathematically our season's not over, Winnie, but I just can't get excited for it, man. I've been in this position for many years, since 2007, where we blow it earlier in the year, we're outside of the top eight race, and then we win these games late in the year that ultimately mean nothing. And I just can't get my hopes up at all. Just like I couldn't get my hopes up for this game, I tipped Cowboys. They were clearly the better side. They were off. I suspect a lot of people tipped the Cowboys in this one. And I did put an all or nothing challenge leg in this one. I had Cowboys plus 4.5 tries. So that one, I lose that one. So what I think we do, Winnie, is we park that segment for the rest of this year. And we sort of put it in that trial bucket where we've tried the take on Toppy. We've tried a few other things this year, really, on the podcast. The all or nothing, the pick the round challenge. And I think we just test and adjust with the audience and come back in 2024 with a more polished product and some new segments for our listeners. But I think, yeah, let's park the all or nothing challenge just by nature of running out of time this year. But yeah, great win for my Titans. Happy in that regard. Disappointed that it took us this long to turn up. Losing our last 4 in a row really hurt our season, man. But how did you see this one? Did we have any plays on this game? I don't think we did we?
No, we didn't have anything at stake, but having tipped Souths to make top four, you know, I was looking at Cowboys, and what I was seeing was that they're the hottest side in the competition, that they had won 5 or 6 straight going into this, that this was a very winnable game, that next week they're home against Brisbane. And what I was really worried about was that if the Cowboys won this game and then beat Brisbane next week, and it was a pick'em, there's comments that, like, Val Holmes are going to get into that. He was going to be suspended. Also, the Cowboys didn't look too good, so I'm sure Brisbane are favoured right now. And I dare say if you play that one early, you'll get a better line now on Brisbane than you will on Wednesday. But what I was thinking was, if the Cowboys beat Brisbane next week, it may push Brisbane out of the minor premiership hunt, and it may create a dead rubber situation for Penrith, as we discussed, who faced the Cowboys in round 27. So beating Brisbane could be worth 2 wins, because it could give the Panthers nothing to play for around 27. However, that might not matter now, because I think, well, now, even if the Cowboys run the gauntlet, I think the Rabbitohs are going to do the same. So it would come down to points difference. And again, it's a wasted opportunity today, because a game against the Titans is the type of game you want to pump up your points differential. So I do think this is the kind of game that maybe halts the Cowboys' charge to make the four, which, as we always say, is so critical to your possibilities of winning the comp, so that people take a hit, anyone that was on, like, Cows to win the comp. And then you look into this coming game against Brisbane. Like, Brisbane's been cooling their heels since Thursday. Now you've got your goal kicker and electric outside back Holmes is going to get suspended, would be my hot tip. Or, in fact, Andrew Harris comments there is gone for 2 weeks. So if that's confirmed, then there you go. And as for why were the Cowboys off their game, you know, I did mention this on Wednesday. No, Nanai was a big out, Neem as well. But I did try to warn people that this was a fishy one. Everybody is going to have tipped Cowboys. Everyone's going to be relying on them for any open multis. It seems pretty logical. But the Titans have these surprises in them, like the game against Brisbane. It was very similar to that one, where the Titans, for no reason that you could have foreseen, held Brisbane to 2 tries in a Sunday afternoon game. Well, they did the same against the Cowboys, you know, equally impressive here. And it was an exciting game. Jaden Campbell got more minutes. That was partly because Brimo got an ab strain, but then they brought Brimo back on, played him in the centres, and Campbell's try just in the first set of the second half was pivotal, because the Titans were down 13-10, and that put him in front, a lead they didn't relinquish. Another reason I think the Cowboys maybe were off is I've just mentioned multiple times they're playing Brisbane. We call that a look-ahead spot sometimes, where you think you're going to take care of business in this one and you know how critical next week is, but you shouldn't look too far ahead sometimes because anyone can beat anyone just about this competition. And I'm glad you mentioned Foran as the MVP because I had noted him as well. The wily old vet, man. Like, it looks like everything he does out there hurts. He labours around, but, man, he makes his tackles. He made some crucial tackles and getting on loose balls time and time again, being where he needed to be, as well as, you know, what he does just generally leading this team, was a massive part of a strong victory today. I'm sorry it doesn't count for much because it just goes back to too many blown wins by the Titans. You know, I can think of both occasions against the Dolphins, and there's others as well, right, where had you won those, you'd still be in the mix right now and this would be a massive win. Unfortunately, you're not strong enough to give away points multiple times in the year and recover from it. But it's still a positive for your fans that turn up, your season ticket holders, and you know you're on national TV and Tino is still suspended and he watches this team and sees what they're capable of when they do all rip in.
And that's the thing, it takes us out of the top four as well, which we have historically been in a lot of our seasons.
The bottom four.
Yeah, it takes us outside of that. But you know, I just don't want to get my hopes up, man. I know that we're only 4 points outside of the eight.
No.
I'm pretty sure we got
Paris next week. So
it's over. For the Cowboys.
You've got the Warriors next week.
Warriors, it must be. Yeah. I know we have Panthers and Storm in our run home as well, so it's not looking good at all. For the Cowboys, yeah, you know, they face a tough match now against the Broncos. They then get the bye. They got the Sharkies at home. Both sides currently 8th and 7th. That looms as an interesting one. Round 26, Dolphins are back at Suncorp. I mentioned they're the sort of team that can spring an upset. That could be one of those sort of games as well. And then they finish with the Panthers in round 27, which may or may not pan out with Panthers resting players. So you do wonder, does this loss even put the Cowboys in danger of falling outside of the 8? Possibly it does when you look at that run home. But we'll keep updating that, getting into all that more in all of our preview and recap shows.
There is a Titans question there. Did you want to touch on that, mate? I don't know if this has been covered in Titans front line, but your quick thoughts on how do you fit Campbell and Brimson into the team?
Yeah, it's all the talk amongst Titans fans at the moment. For me, I just go back to there's a pecking order at the club. And as good as Jaden Campbell is, AJ Brimson is a Queensland Maroon caliber fullback. He did play there in game 3 due to injury, but he is in there in contention with that jersey for Ponga and Reece Walsh, who are no doubt favoured. But Jaden Campbell's not quite there yet. He is so exciting. He is brilliant. But I just think Brimo has earned the right at our club that he is our fullback until he's not our fullback. I do think there's an option to move him into the centres next year, particularly with Des Hasler, and give Jaden that one jersey. But I also think it's hugely disrespectful to AJ, who's been at our club for a while, played rep games for the Maroons, to all of a sudden say, hey, this young kid's coming through. He's looking really good. So you're now a centre. I think that decision has to be made by Brimo. Selfishly, I hope he does make that decision. I think he could be a really good centre. And I love it every time Jaden starts. But I also respect the pecking order at the same time.
I'm going to push back and say, well, he's the third. He's the clear third choice Queensland fullback. You're not really in contention. Like, it's Ponga and Walsh a fair way ahead of him.
He was earlier this year. Now that we've seen him play game 3 and we knew he was...
But we've seen him at his best, but we've seen Ponga and Walsh at their best. And then I think there are levels. Queensland also lost the game where he did play fullback. He played in the series winning team, but that was where Queensland was like basically picking blokes from reserve grade. Not to disrespect Brimo, but I'm actually going to push back and say I'm not sure he's a better fullback than Campbell, but that's how much of a rap I've got on Jaden Campbell. So my response to Lincoln's question would be I have to play Jaden Campbell fullback, and then I'd play Brimo right centre. Or if Kieran Foran's body is just battered, I would like periodically sit Foran out and say, like, maybe every third game, or, you know, if you just don't pull up well, let AJ play six where he has played a lot of first grade. And then that's my solution. Then I got Campbell, Brimson, Boyd, Verrills is my spine. That's what I'd do because you just have to have him on the field. It wasn't a coincidence that, again, Jaden Campbell came on when the Titans were down a try, and played the rest of the game, then won by 2 tries. You know, last week was down 36-0. And 18-0 when he was on the field up. So David says there, AJ, move AJ to six. Colt, I'd have AJ any day. JC, but he's far too light. So, look, it's a good problem to have, but, yes, I feel like you've got to have them both out there on the field.
Great problem to have. I mean, some sides like the Bulldogs would kill to have the depth at fullback like us at the moment. But then I do wonder with Kieran Foran's toe injury, does he say, okay, season probably over, let me get my toe surgery now. Brimson, you play six for the rest of the year. Campbell, you play fullback. We've got a few options there. But ultimately, I don't know if you guys can tell.
Tune in to Titans Frontline podcast if you want more in-depth discussion on that club and what the best moves are for them.
Yeah, I probably should be a lot more fired up after a Titans win. A win is a win, and you've got to take it anytime you can get it as a Titans fan in the NRL.
Punter.
As a punter as well. Yes, certainly as a punter as well. But that's all we've got time for tonight on the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. I want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in. Hopefully everyone got on our best bets, particularly in this last 2 weeks. Winnie's absolute fire with just some brilliant results for everyone. It's been a really, really great few weeks for the podcast. So well done to Winnie and well done to our listeners if you have been getting on. From myself, thank you. And I will see you Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for our round 23 NRL preview. With that in mind, Winnie, over to you to farewell the show.
Thanks to you as well, mate. And, we'll see everyone on Wednesday where we'll try and extend this 5 best bet winning streaks. Thanks to everyone that joined us tonight. We'll have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday. Lego!